Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come now to your Son's actions and words after his resurrection, we'd ask that you'd open our hearts and our minds, that indeed we would hear what Jesus has to say for us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, here in the words of Jesus that you heard from John's Gospel in chapter 20 and verses 19 to 21, we find what knowing and following Jesus is all about. After that momentous day, when the disciples came and found that the tomb had had the stone rolled away, and it was empty except for the grave clothes, laid out as if the body was still there. When Mary Magdalene's meeting with a man whom she first thought to be a gardener, but whom soon had her crying out, "Rabboni," and having spoken to him, she goes to the disciples and declares, "I've seen the Lord." Finally come to the evening and joined together in a room with doors locked because they still feared the leaders of the Sanhedrin would come and arrest them. And into this room of tired, confused and scared men and women came Jesus. John dramatically puts it this way. Jesus came and stood among them. And Jesus starts his instructions about how they were to live now with the risen Lord. He starts with what must be the most wonderful of bequests ever given to one person, by one person to a group of people. The first of Christ's wonderful gifts is the one we often mistake for something no more than a greeting. We hear Jesus in the room start his conversation by saying, "Peace be with you." And we think the Jewish word shalom, which means peace be with you. And we equate it with good day. We think it was just a throwaway to draw everyone's attention. It's a very common greeting, but it's not hello, nor even a formal good morning. It's much more closely paralleled by the wish, "God bless you." Yet I would argue that it's much more powerful than that. If we look at the New Testament, we see that the thought of God giving peace to men is always connected with what Jesus accomplished by his death and resurrection. Thus it is that when Paul writes in Romans about justification, he tells us that one of the results is, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And you find that in Romans 5 and 1. This is the first and greatest gift, but like all true gifts, it's given as the giver wants to give it. It is a result of Christ's actions, and he dispenses real peace to those he wants to give it to, only to those who believe on him. Jesus, as he speaks, highlights man's problem. Jesus talking first of all about peace with God. Now that's not man's normal position. The Bible tells us that naturally men are at war with God. They oppose him. Consequently, it was God who made peace with man through the cross. Yet the peace he made was after mankind's sin had been totally defeated. Therefore, we cannot bargain for this peace, nor enter in without meeting God's demand. God says to us, Jesus died to make peace. If you want to enter into my peace, then it must be through faith in him and what he does and has done. The wonderful thing is that when we accept God's terms and surrender to Jesus, we find not hostility but love. Wrath is gone, and instead God receives us with smiles and declares us to be his sons and daughters. Also, Christ brings us another gift, for he also offers us the peace of God. Having received peace with God, we can now experience in all of life the peace of God. The Bible describes it this way. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful gift this is for us and the disciples. The disciples had gone through the most horrendous week of their life. They'd spent 3 years coming to know Jesus and to love him. They had heard him teach and saw him do miracles. They had experienced the growing hostility of the Sanhedrin and had even warned him not to go to Jerusalem. Yet still they were unprepared for his arrest. They scattered in the dark, and then word came that he was to be crucified, and almost before they could draw breath, they learned that that had happened, and then that the tomb in which he had been laid was empty. And several of the groups were saying they'd seen him risen. What a confused group that met fearfully in that locked room. And then Jesus came. If there was one thing the disciples needed, it was peace. Indeed, it's what we all need, and certainly the world needs. Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." Do you know this peace that Jesus offered the disciples? You see, the world doesn't. Australia doesn't. People do not. The world has too many Gazas, where war is raging for it to be to know God's peace. Australia has too many people who have no respect for anything or anyone, themselves included. People think it's possible to have peace in the privacy of their souls, but it does not happen. That peace does not exist, for we carry the seeds of turmoil in our hearts. Our basic problem is that we are not at peace with God. Time and again, this disharmony breaks forth to disturb man's relationship with other people and even his innermost thoughts. But Jesus made peace between his Father and all who trust in him by his death and resurrection on the cross. The peace that Christ followers experience with God, they can also experience with others and with themselves. There are many upsetting things in life, but even there, Jesus offers peace. Jesus brought many more gifts to the disciples. Peace was but one result of his death and resurrection. Among his other gifts, he brought access to the presence of God the Father through prayer. Paul writes in Romans, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Prayer, as Jesus tells us in John 14 and 6, is only for those who know him. There Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Bible also tells us that the death of Christ gives us a sure and certain hope. Hope that refers to the eternal future. Before Jesus died, he said in John 14 and 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." And after he died and rose again, we can know there is a future and that he has gone to make it ready for us. These are not the only gifts. For we know he gives us the Holy Spirit, eternal life and the Bible. As well, he gives us a status before God as daughters and sons, co-heirs with Christ and God's glory. Indeed, we have all his promises, among which is the promise to meet all our needs. Paul, writing to the Philippians, said, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." All this we receive, as did the disciples. What good news it was and is. And Christ, as he gives them this good news, tells them that they cannot keep it to themselves. They don't have that liberty. They were to be his messengers. Indeed, anyone who has received the good news is to be a messenger. In verse 21, Jesus emphasizes that this commissioning is connected to his commissioning by the Father when he came into the world. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This tells us a number of things, but the first and most important is that our mission, as was the disciples 2,000 years ago, is to be patterned on Christ's. He was the first missionary. Our efforts are to be like his. What does this mean specifically? The first thing is that Jesus was sent into the world. We are told this in Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17 and 18. This is the principle of incarnation. Jesus came as one with those he was to help. This is how it has to be for us. Jesus came into the world to be one. Can I say that I think that is the biggest problem facing the church at this time? We have always retreated from the world, not going into it. Too often we find the safe place, and if we think about our actions, we could be saying the world can go to hell. And friends, it is, but we need to be seeking to stop it happening. I do not think I have a simple answer for this. This is my problem as well. And I know this. If we do not fulfill the Great Commission, and to do that we need to live with, befriend and love and enter into the experiences of those to whom we are being sent, then we're not doing Christ's work. If we are going into the world as Christ was in the world, then becoming friends with unbelievers must be a priority. And then we need to work out the issues of life by their side. This means that we need to have the same purpose as Jesus. Paul told Timothy what that purpose was and should be for us. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. This means that we need to actually see people saved. That is, come to know Jesus and become one of Jesus' missionaries. While it's true that not everyone will respond to the gospel, it's also true that everyone needs to hear the gospel. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father has sent me." Yet Jesus did everything in his power to teach and persuade people of the truth of the gospel. We need to do likewise. Paul went into the world because he said he was the chief among sinners. Let none of us hand back because we are a lesser sinner than Paul. Remember that Jesus was sinless, yet he went to sinners. With both Jesus and Paul seeking to save sinners, we can have no excuse. Not only is our effort and purpose to be the same, but our goal is to be Jesus' goal. What was that? That goal was to glorify the Father. Jesus prays in John 17 and in verse 4, "I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you've gave me to do." And then in verse 10, "All I have is yours and all you have is mine. The glory has come to me through them." Just as Jesus glorified the Father, so we are to glorify the Son. Will you go into the world to do this? So we see that Jesus has through his rising again brought us many gifts, the greatest of which is peace, both peace with God and the peace of God. As well, Jesus has called us to go into the world to share the gospel. Over Easter we've cried, "He is risen, he is risen indeed." Do we believe it? Do we believe it enough to do his will? The questions are simple. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord? If this is so, then his commission applies to you too. How will you heed it? Will you say, "Send me, Lord"? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we would ask that your Spirit would be amongst us and that indeed you would make us your servants and your messengers and send us out. Give us people to speak to, people to bring to Jesus. And we do ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.